serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are in tune to 1510 AM WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville and the Beaches, FM 94.7.
Welcome to Through the Bible. Today in our study of Romans 16, we come down from the mountain peaks of doctrine to what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, calls the dirt streets of first century Rome. I'm your host, Steve Schwartz, welcoming you aboard the Bible bus as we conclude our amazing study in Romans with Paul's words of thanks for those who made his ministry possible. Next time, we're going to head back to the Old Testament to begin our first study in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So if you haven't already downloaded your free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for 1st and 2nd Chronicles, I suggest you do that today. They're available individually at ttb.org/notes, or better yet, get the entire collection for our 5-year study by downloading our digital book, Briefing the Bible. It too is available in the resources section of ttb.org. And remember, you can also have an abbreviated copy sent by mail when you just call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, we got just enough time to hear from a few of our fellow passengers on the Bible bus. First, we hear from Lamar in Inglewood, California.
My name is Lamar, and I listen to the Bible bus on the memory stick available from the ministry's website. How God is using this in my life is my entire life. As long as I can remember, since I was 4, I've heard Dr. J. Vernon McGee preach the gospel. In 2010, the woman I was with died, and I fell into deeper into sin. But all the while, trying to listen to God's word through this ministry, he changed my life. He took me out of an adulterous, sinful relationship. My son is not with me. I don't get to talk to him. But the Lord will return my son. This ministry has blessed me because I'm in love with Jesus Christ now. And I pay offerings into this ministry. And God changed my life when I was faithful with my money. Because this is the word, it cannot fail. Please share my testimony that God's word is life, and it is a light to light up our lives. God bless you.
Well, thanks, Lamar, for sharing your story and for supporting the Bible bus in your neighborhood and around the world. It is a privilege to have you join us every day. Next, we hear from Kim in Missouri.
Hi, my name is Kim. I just wanted to thank you for being on Bot Radio at 6 in the morning. That's right when I'm usually getting my day started, getting ready to jump in the car and go to work. And a lot of times I haven't been in my Bible by 6. And the day starts rolling, and before you know, it's lunch. And anyways, I just wanted to thank you for being one of my very first remembrances of the Word of God in the morning. And easy to understand, bite-sized chunks. I just love being able to think through the day on some of the things that I've heard on Through the Bible. So thank you for the Bible bus, and keep up the good work. Praise the Lord. Have a great week.
Well, Kim, it's great to hear from you as well. Thanks for starting your day with us in God's Word. Finally, we hear from a listener named Daniel.
Hi, my name is Daniel, and I listen to Through the Bible through the Bible app. I work as a hospice pastor and have lots of time driving back and forth to my patients. So as a pastor, I'm sure you well know that you need the Bible in order to be fed to feed others. And I get so much out of listening to this app on a daily basis. I am very appreciative of Through the Bible and pray for you every day. Have a blessed day and take care.
Thanks for sharing your story, Daniel. We're grateful for those of you involved with hospice ministry. May God bless you as you share his love with others. Now, what's your story? We'd sure love to hear how God's using his word in your life. Is there maybe a particular study, or maybe it's a verse in Romans that really stood out to you? You know, hearing from you is such an encouragement for all of us. So please get in touch today. Reach out to us on social media. If you do that, you can find us on Facebook, also Instagram and Twitter, or you can email your note to BibleBus@ttb.org, or you can always reach us by mail at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C 6B1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we travel the dirt roads of Romans, we thank you that your Spirit guides us into all truth. Please humble our hearts and strengthen our faith as we dig into your word today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, as we come to the 16th and last chapter, the epistle to the Romans, we have been treading the high places in this epistle. And now we come down, we leave the mountain peaks of doctrine to come down to the pavements of Rome. And here we see Christianity walking in shoe leather on the streets of first century pagan Rome. This is Christianity in action. These great doctrines that were proclaimed by Paul are not missiles for outer space, but they are vehicles which actually ran on Roman roads. And the gospel is here translated into life and reality. I think the remarkable thing about this chapter is that it's omitted by so many. I know I have several books that when they get to the 16th chapter, they have one or two lines and that's it. But this 16th chapter is very important because we see here a mutual love and a tender affection which was manifest in the early church. Now we want to come first to the commendation of Phoebe. She was the one who bore this epistle to Rome. Will you listen to verses 1 and 2? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Now, Phoebe is the first believer that's mentioned in this catalog of the heroes of faith, and Romans has this list here. Their exploits are not recorded, that is all of them. But here's this woman. She was a Gentile, as her name indicates, and as we've said, there were many Gentiles in the Roman church. She was named, actually, for the Greek goddess Artemis, or Diana, or Phoebe. It's all the same. Now, in Greek mythology, she was the goddess of the moon. As her brother Apollo, he was the god of the sun. And many believers, when they were born in the Roman world of that day, where the worship of these gods of Greek mythology were practiced, they were named for them. And this woman was. Now, many of these folk, when they came to Christ, they gave up their heathen and pagan name, and then they adopted another name that was a, shall we say, a Christian name. Now, she is the one that bears the epistle. And apparently, she's a very prominent woman in the church. And this reveals something, I think, here that's important to see. First of all, she's a woman of ability, and she's called here the servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea. Now, Cenchrea was actually the place where you took ship in that day if you wanted to leave Corinth. That is, if you were going east, you would go down to Cenchrea. I was there. It was a very clear day, and I looked down from the ruins of ancient Corinth, and as I looked down and saw the distance, I wondered whether I was accurate in my book when I said that Cenchrea was the eastern seaport of Corinth, but it was about 9 miles distant. It looked to me like it wasn't over 3 miles distant. But of course, on a clear day, these things can certainly deceive you. And so it may have been that it was more than it looked like. Now, Cenchrea was the seaport town when you were in Corinth and went down. So apparently, Paul wrote the epistle to the Romans from Corinth. And Phoebe, who lived down at Cenchrea, and apparently she was a woman of ability, a woman of means, and a woman that probably was engaged in business. Now she's called a servant, which means deaconess, and it's the same word used for deacon. And it reveals the fact that there were women who occupied a very prominent place in the early church. She occupied an office. And may I just say here something that's been on my mind and heart a long time, although I never insisted on it in any church that I served. I believe that one of the reasons that women have moved into the place of becoming pastors and preachers, and I don't think they should. I think this is one office that is denied to them. And I know that this day of women's rights, that I'll sure sound like a square, but doesn't make any difference. I just want to be just about as round as the Bible is, and I don't mind being a square if the Bible is square. And so I believe that if the church had given women, know, her rightful position in the church, that we wouldn't have those becoming pastors and preachers today. I think there should be deaconesses in the church, and I think they should sit on an equality with any other board that is in the church. I think that it's needed today, some of the insights that women have that men do not have. God has made them finer than a man. A watch is finer than an automobile, and it's more delicate. And a woman has been given a sense that a man doesn't seem to have. You need that insight that a woman has. Now, she was a deaconess of the church, and she apparently had gone to Rome on business. And Paul put this letter in her hand, rather than trusting it that day to public transportation. They had a real mail service in that day. And if our mail service gets any worse, I would suggest we go back to the Roman method, because it did work, and it was slow, but couldn't be any slower than ours is today. That's the reason some of you don't get letters from us as quickly as you should. Now, while Paul was on the way back to Jerusalem, she took this letter and was going to Rome, and now Paul commends her to the saints there in Rome. That's the first woman mentioned. Now we have given here Christians in Rome that are greeted from verses 3 to 15. There's quite a list here. Now I want to go down this list because it's very important. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Now, there were churches of the Gentiles, you see, and I think that would be true to a certain extent of the church in Rome. I think it was made up of all races. The church in Rome was integrated, that's for sure. Now we're told here that this Jewish couple, and this gives us quite an insight into the movement of Christians in that day and how the church in Rome came into existence. Now, actually, how did Paul know Priscilla and Aquila and know they were his helpers? Well, there had been persecution, a wave of anti-Semitism that had risen in the city of Rome, and Aquila and Priscilla, who were Jews, they had to leave. And they came, by the way, to the city of Corinth, and they set up shop. It was a good commercial center, and Paul met them there. They were tent makers, and Paul was, and that drew them together. And Paul led them to the Lord. And then they were with Paul over in Ephesus, you will recall. They were laborers together with him. Apparently, they went over there to open up a branch of their store. And we find them now, they're back in Rome. They have returned home now, and they are converts of the Apostle Paul. Now, I think many of these others were also. Now, Paul sends greetings to them. And the thing that interests me here again is, when we first meet them, why, we're told that their names were Aquila and Priscilla. And then you follow them through. And in Acts 18:26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. So that it's Aquila and Priscilla. But now here, it's greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Why'd Paul turn this around? Well, I think that here is a case of a family, a man and his wife, where the wife was the dominant member of the family. Now that often happens, I think, unfortunately, many times, but it works many times too, by the way, and it works here. Priscilla in spiritual matters. She was the leader. And now it's Greek Priscilla and Aquila. They are the outstanding workers for Christ that Paul had led to the Lord. Now we have in verse 5, likewise greet the church that's in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now the local church met in private homes at the very beginning. There are many references to that. Sandy writes, there is no decisive evidence until the 3rd century of the existence of special buildings used for churches. They met in the home. Now that's the belief of a great many folk. I've held the belief for years that the church began in the home. It will return to the home today. Many of these great big mausoleums that are called churches, they have a steeple on them. They're nothing in the world but a pile of brick and stone and mortar. They are mausoleums. They do not contain a real living body of believers at all. So a church was never intended to be spoken of as a building. In the first 3 centuries, the church was the body of believers. And Aquila and Priscilla had a church met in their home. Epaphroditus here is a Greek name. It means praise. And he apparently was the first convert that Paul had in Asia, that is, back in the province of Asia. And then in verse 6, we see greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Now, she labored to the point of exhaustion. Now, that's a Jewish name, and it means rebelliousness. But what a change had taken place in her life. Before becoming a believer, she was in rebellion, but now she just knocks herself out for the sake of other believers, because she is obedient to Christ. Now in verse 7 I read, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Andronicus is a Greek name, and it's been identified with a slave, and Junia is a Roman name and can be either masculine or feminine. Paul calls them my fellow countrymen. That it could mean they belong to the tribe of Benjamin, as did Paul, but it doesn't necessarily mean any close blood relationship. He says they were my fellow prisoners, and that means that Paul had met them in prison somewhere in the Roman Empire. You see, the church in Rome was founded by Paul, but under most unusual circumstances. He led Priscilla and Aquila to the Lord in the Greek Corinthian Agora, the marketplace. Now here in jail, he leads these two. Now we have verses 8 and 9. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Now, Amplius is a common slave name, and it occurs in the tombs of the early Christians in the catacombs, always in a place of honor. He evidently was one of Paul's converts and very dear to his heart. Now, Urbanus, or Urbane, as we have it here in English, means city bred. You want to know what his name was? He was the city slicker. It's just a common slave name, and it may mean he was brought up in the city rather than in the country. And he's one of the real workers with the believers. And Stachys means ear of corn. He's been found listed in the royal household. It's a masculine name. He was beloved not only to Paul, but to the church. Now, verse 10, salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are Aristobulus' household. And he is the approved one. And it could be either a Greek or Jewish name. It was common among the Jews, Apelles. And he had stood some outstanding test. And Aristobulus is identified as a grandson of Herod the Great. And possibly they were slaves who took the name of their masters. Can't say about that. And then salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Now, Herodian here was evidently a Jew, as Paul was. He calls him my fellow countryman. And the name suggests the Herod family. And he probably had been a slave and taken the name of the family he belonged to. Narcissus is the name of a well-known freedman and not a slave. Put to death by Abricana. These are probably slaves who belonged to him, and taken his name, that is the one that has the name here, not the last one. He was apparently a free man, but maybe a slave who'd been made free. Then in verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. The names are euphonious. They just struck me when I read the epistle, and they mean delicate and dainty. These were apparently two old maids. I ought not to say that, but you understand what I mean, I'm sure. And they came to know Christ. They were apparently women of means, but they couldn't get out to the evening service. But they were wonderful folk, and they had supported the Apostle Paul. They labored in the Lord, but there was another woman there by the name of Persis. She labored much in the Lord. She was a free woman also, and her position enabled her to do more than the other two sisters. She worked for the Lord, you see. Then we have Rufus, and he was related to the Apostle Paul. And then you have a list given here as Syncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, and Hermas, and the brethren which are with him. These are all just names to us, but they came to know Christ. And then he mentions salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus, and his sister in Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. So here's another group of believers, and they were there in Rome. Paul knew them, apparently led them to the Lord. Then salute one another with a holy kiss. And that was the form of greeting in that day. Don't recommend it today. Now Paul puts in a word of warning. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you've learned. Avoid them. And then he has this to say, which is quite interesting here. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, simple concerning evil. You see, the faith came abroad also, but the faith is manifested in obedience. Then he says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now he brings greetings from those that were with him. Timothy was with him, and Dr. Luke, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. And then he says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you. Paul, you see, had a amanuensis, a secretary. And then Gaius, mine host, that's where he was staying, he salutes him. Then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now he says, now to him, that is, a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Now, the mystery means it had never been revealed in the Old Testament, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Here we have obedience of faith. You know the reason that trust and obey is my favorite hymn. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. When you trust Christ, you will obey him. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's the picture the scripture gives of the believer today. That's the message of Romans. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What an amazing study in Romans. Next time on the Bible Bus, we'll head back to the Old Testament with a new study in the book of 1 Chronicles. But if you'd like to spend maybe a bit more time in your personal study of Romans, a great idea, by the way, remember, you can listen to all of these messages again for free at ttb.org. Also available on ttb.org is the handy flash drive that Lamar mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, as well as our new Bible companion for Romans. And then there's also a bunch of other great resources to help you go deeper in God's Word. Or if we can help you find a particular resource, you can always call us, 1-800-65-BIBLE is the number. Again, that's ttb.org or 1-800-65-BIBLE. When you're in touch, be sure to tell us how you hop aboard the Bible Bus. Is it by app or online? YouTube, podcasts, maybe your favorite Christian radio station. There are so many great ways to listen to Through the Bible today. And by sharing your favorite, you really help us to be good stewards of the money that God provides through faithful friends like you. So thanks in advance for being a part of the team that keeps the Bible Bus running in your community and in more than 200 languages around the world. I'm Steve Schwetz, hoping that you'll hop aboard the Bible Bus next time and invite a friend to join you. I'll save a seat for both of you.
Jesus made it home.
Our story on the Bible Bus today is just one step in a five-year journey through the entire Word of God. Come along for the ride, and you'll study both the Old Testament and New Testament, discovering God's great redemption story. Is this your story too?
I love to call on the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
I love to call on the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
I love to call on the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
I love
to call.
Yes, I do. By the name Jesus,
I
love calling on the name of the Lord. Listen, there is healing in the name Jesus. There is healing in the name
Jesus.
So much healing in the name Jesus. Church, I love. I gotta leave William in the studio with me. Lee, you take this mic right here. And I want you to take your time like you always do. And let the Lord use you right now.
There is love in the name of Jesus. There is love in the name of Jesus. There is love in the name of Jesus. I love to call on the name
of the Lord.
I love to call on the name of the Lord. There is peace in that name of
Jesus.
There is peace in the name of
Jesus.
There is peace in that name.
What do you do?
You are listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who is worthy of all our honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning into the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service times starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases. I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ, glory to his wonderful name, he has forgiven us of all of our iniquities. He healed all of our diseases. He is a great and mighty God, and we're not just talking about him. We know him, praise God. We have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray today that each person out there in Radio Land that have tuned in to this broadcast, that you as well would have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way that is possible is that you repent of your sins. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and come into your heart and take something which is your life and do something with it. And the Lord Jesus Christ will do just that. We praise him today. Father, thank you once again for the radio listeners and all those that tune into the broadcast. We give you all the praise. We pray that your anointing will touch the hearts of those that tune in, that they will be receptive to your word, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and live the life that you have ordained in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise amen. The Lord. Glory to his wonderful name.
Yes.
We want to talk today about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is something that we cannot fake. We either have him or we don't have him. And I've heard many people talk about the Holy Spirit. I said, talk about the Holy Spirit, but they didn't and don't have the Holy Spirit. Many people say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. My question today is that, does he have you? And if he have you, you would walk according to the will of Almighty God, that you will allow the Holy Spirit to be first to guide and lead you in this Christian journey. He is all-powerful. He is the third person of the Godhead. And he's right there waiting to help you. He is our Paracletos, the one that is alongside to help us. We depend on the Holy Spirit for everything. Glory to God. Because Jesus said we can do nothing without him. Praise God. And we need him. Many people are talking about who they have, but I wonder today through the Holy Scriptures as we read them that the reality of God's word, is it true to us all? We want to look at the works of the Holy Spirit. When we say that we have him, we must also understand that he must have us. Praise God. Now that sounds like it's a double negative, but I want to tell you something here, that can you have him without him having you? Well, I think that when we say that is that we are talking about him, but we don't have the personal relationship that we should have with him. And when he is in our lives, I want to tell you today that he will do exactly what he said in his word. The third person of the Godhead will take full control of your life. He came into this world to show us the things of God, to illuminate the Holy Scriptures, that we will understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has said unto us. We want to look at St. John, the 14th chapter and the 26th verse. We want to, for starters, we want to look at the Holy Spirit and what he does in all of our lives. Many people today, they do all kind of bizarre things, and they say after they've completed the works of the flesh, then they tell you, well, listen, that was a Freudian slip. Well, I want to tell you, no such thing. What's in you will come out of you. Believe me. I said, what's in you will come out of you. Apostle Paul made that clear when he said that, what saith thee? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. Well, if it's in your heart, it's going to come out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Listen to me very carefully out there in Radio Land. What you have in abundance in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. You will say it. It's not a Freudian slip. It's what's on the inside. Garbage in, garbage comes out. Let's take a notice today that the Holy Spirit, if he's inside, praise God, he wants to do the work that he's spoken of in St. John 14 and verse 26 and many other verses of scripture there that tells us how he functions, how he operates, what he does in the lives of those that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I'm not speaking or talking about sinless perfection. I'm not saying that you're perfect. What I am saying is that when he's a person, when he is in the temple, glory to God, and having full control, he will do exactly what he said in his word. And John said that, and I believe what the word of God says. In Minister Glory, in St. John 14 and 26, he tells us who he is, praise God. When you're going through all kinds of difficulty and there may be problems in your lives, I want to tell you that he does what he says that he will do according to what the word of God says. Minister Glory, what is the Holy Spirit talking to us? Glory to God. I know that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, but I want to tell you, I am one of his disciples.
Amen.
You are one of his disciples, praise God. Because the scripture tells us that if we continue in his word, then are we his disciples, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Praise God. So we are continuing in his word. We believe what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us through the power of the Holy Scriptures. Now we know in context that Jesus was speaking, praise God, and he was talking to those Jews that believed on him.
Yes.
Well, I want to tell you today, if you believe on him, then you can walk in the truth of God's word and you'll be made free. Praise God. I said you'll be made free. Every time you read the scriptures, the word of the eternal God, the Holy Spirit will illuminate them and you will be free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You will be made free. Each time we find what the word of God is saying to us, we all are made free. The Bible tells us that who the Son of Man sets free, made free, he is free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Glory to God. I say there is liberty. This comforter, which the word of God tells us through Apostle John, glory to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's telling us that he does a number of things. He is a person, praise God. You can take him for what he said in his word there, praise God. In Minister Gloria, in the 26th verse there, what is the word telling us, glory to God?
But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost.
All right, he is a comforter, praise God. He comforts us in the times of distress and difficulties and problems that we may have in our lives. I thank God that he's the comforter. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of us look for comfort from other areas and sources, but I want to tell you today that if you have him and he has you, he will comfort you in the times of distress, difficulties, and problems that may try to rise up. But I want to tell you, he's the comforter. Amen. Praise God.
Whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Listen very carefully what Jesus is saying here. He is the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He has a name. Glory to God. The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And what is he going to do? When you have him and he has you, you won't depend on the intellectual ability of mortal man. What you and who you would depend on is the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the teacher. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Praise God. I pray today that he's speaking to you all out there in radio land. You've classified yourself as a disciple. And I want to tell you, that may be your classification, but I want to tell you that Jesus said that you are a disciple if you continue in his word. Praise God. So Minister Gloria, he comforts us.
Yes.
In the times of distress. He is the comforter. Jesus prayed for his disciples. And he told them, listen, well, glory to God. He said, it's expedient that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come. Well, both of them couldn't be here at the same time because Jesus is the Son of God. The Comforter is the third person of the Godhead. And that's why he said, well, if I don't go away, he can't come. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that the Comforter is here. He's here in me.
Amen.
My body is the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me. Glory to God.
Amen.
And Minister Gloria, he is the comforter.
Yes,
he comforter, comforts us, praise God. He is the teacher. Amen. Many people today are depending on intellectual ability from mortal man. What they are doing is that, well, he has all these degrees, so he must know what he's talking about. Well, God never put any premium on ignorance. God says, well, he wants you to have education. Glory to God. Apostle Paul was well educated. Many others there. Some were ignorant and unlearned men, but I want to tell you today, they never depend upon their own ability. They depended upon the Holy Spirit, in whom we must depend upon. If I have him, then I pray to God that he's got me and that he will teach me. Glory to God. That is what he said, that he will teach me all things. That don't mean that some things he'll teach me. He'll teach me all things. So that means that I must depend on him. No matter what the things may be, what problems may arise, I must depend on the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Let him speak through me. Let him do what he said that he would do. He will guide me. So he told his disciples, he said, glory to God, that he'll teach you all things.
Yes.
What does all things mean?
All
things mean all things. Mm-hmm. That means that if I'm standing behind the rostrum or pulpit there, if I'm standing there trying to take intellect to feed the Spirit of God, it won't work. Folks sitting inside the congregation and they are hearing mortal man speaking from his intellectual ability. Oh my God. Listen, Spirit speaks to Spirit. The carnal mind, my God. Intellectual ability cannot satisfy the things of God. Praise his wonderful name. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father has sent in his name. Glory to God. He shall teach you all things. And not only all things, but he'll bring all things back to your remembrance from what he said. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Oh, he spoke many things. A lot of things he said, well, you cannot bear at this time. There's much that I have to speak to you, but you cannot receive it at this time. Minister of Glory, we must depend on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. I don't care how many degrees a man would have. He can have as many collars as he wants turned around on his neck. But if he does not have the Holy Ghost, glory to God. I said the Holy Ghost. How is he going to teach you? He's going to give you intellect. surface knowledge. You see, the Holy Ghost don't give us surface knowledge. He gives us revelation. The Holy Ghost doesn't give us information. He gives us revelation. And this is what we need today. This is what the churches need today. Glory to God. I don't care where it is. If the Holy Ghost is at work, my God, he's going to do a mighty work there in the lives of everyone that got him and he's got them. Glory to God. Minister Gordon, I see you looking like you got something else you want to talk about, this third person of the Godhead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's a teacher.
Yes, he is. And he helps our infirmities.
My God. Hallelujah.
Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Which he prays the perfect will of God.
Perfect will of God.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He helps our infirmities, our weakness. The Bible never tells us in Romans 8 and verse 26 that we don't know how to pray. He says that we don't know what to pray. Hallelujah. I tell you, that's wonderful. He tells us what we should pray. We get on our knees. We don't have no formality to say, well, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. He's the one that helps our infirmities. Praise God. Hallelujah. We must depend on the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is synonymous. And I'm saying some folks say the Holy Spirit, others say the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you, you got to have him and he's got to have you. And if he doesn't have you and you're saying that you got him, then let's look at what this thing shows us. You're operating in your flesh. If you don't have him, you're operating your own ability. This is why so much stuff is going on in the body of Christ today, because folks are operating in themselves. Now, I don't know everybody, but I want to tell you today that you can see what is going on. Churches are splitting up because that's not the Holy Spirit. That's flesh. The Holy Spirit will not split the body of Christ. Amen. He will not do that.
No.
And this is what's happening here. But I thank God for the Holy Spirit. A lot of folks don't want the truth. They want church. They don't want the truth. When they hear truth, they run. But I want to tell you today that Jesus said in St. John 17 and verse 17, Jesus was praying this priestly prayer unto the Father. Glory to God. And he was telling, he said, well, sanctify them. In other words, set them apart. My God, through thy what?
Truth.
Thy word is truth.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Praise God. So the Comforter.
Yes.
He's our teacher.
Yes.
He will teach us all things and bring all things back to our remembrance. Not only that, he will teach us, the Comforter,
mm-hmm.
he will guide and lead us
into all truth.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He will guide and lead us into all truth.
Because who's truth? Jesus Christ.
Amen. So the word of God tells us there in St. John 16 in verse 13, he says, when the Spirit of truth has come. That's another name for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He is truth. Praise God. I said he's truth. And when you have him and he has you, you will walk in the truth of God's word.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. He says that when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide and lead you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but that which he hears is what he'll speak.
Praise God.
And he'll show you things to come. I wonder what he's listening to when we come together. Is he listening to a whole lot of failure and doubt and unbelief? Or is he listening to the things of God? Amen. Minister Gloria, you know, I just thank God that the Holy Spirit is available for everybody.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And Jesus told his disciples there, praise God. It's amazing how we overlook a lot of things there in terms of what the the Holy Spirit does and how he operates in our lives. And Jesus was telling his disciples, don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. See, don't go anywhere. You remain here in Jerusalem until you have received the promise of the Father. A lot of folks today say, I've received him now. I'm going to go pick up my Bible and I'm going to preach. No, well, let me tell you something. You need this power.
Yes.
You cannot fake this power. None of us. We don't have the ability to fake it. Because if you fake it in the flesh and you're operating on the other side, that's counterfeit. And you can't do it because it will surely define who you are. So what it is that we need him.
Yes.
We need him every day.
Every day.
Every minute of the day we need the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We want him to do what he says that he would do. Mm-hmm. Jesus told the disciples there in Acts 1 and verse 8, he said, but you shall receive power after. Somebody say after.
After.
After that the Holy Ghost come upon you. In other words, and you'll be a witness unto him in Jerusalem. That's in the home, praise God. Judea, that's in the town. Samaria, that's in the city. And to the uttermost part of the earth. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Somebody should be shouting out there right now in Radio Land. You miss a time or a point where you can say, Lord, I thank you. I want that.
Yes.
It's available for me. Glory to God. And those folks, when they went up there in that upper room, they had my God, and they received the Holy Ghost.
Yes, they did.
Amen.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
They were all what?
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they
began to speak with other tongues.
Praise God. This is what I'm talking about. A lot of folks today, they say, well, listen, I don't believe that. That died out when the apostles died. Well, listen, I want to tell you today that that is not true. That is error. Did not die out when the apostles died. Because if that's the case, then the prophecy of Joel, when he says that in the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh, from humanity, on humanity, praise God. Well, I tell you, folks are still getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, even as I speak, the ones that are trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God, the one that sent the comforter back. You see, this is the whole thing here. When Jesus was with his disciples, he was their comforter. Glory to God. See, whatever the disciples needed, Jesus was there. All they had to do was to come and talk to Jesus. But what did Jesus say? He said, well, in that day you shall ask me nothing, but you will ask the Father in my name, and he'll give it to you.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. I've asked the Father in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
To give me... the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Nobody can teach me how to speak in tongues. There are folks that are going around and say, well, no, you do this and then you can do. Listen, I'm not here to mock anyone. I just want to say something. The scriptures are emphatically clear concerning what the Word of God is saying. And this is what we must believe and trust in. Jesus said in St. John 15 and verse 7, he said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Listen, we want the Word of God to live and to abide and to remain in us as children of God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Mr. Mm-hmm. Glory, you know that the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Pastor, you must have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, in Romans 8 and 14, it says, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So you must have a personal relationship with him in order to have this being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Well, let's look at what you're saying here. The relationship is vitally important because if you don't have a relationship, you don't even know him.
Amen.
Listen to what I'm saying here. When the disciples went in that upper room, 120 in the upper room, they were all praying and they were filled, you said,
yes,
with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues.
Yes.
as the Spirit of God gave them utterance.
Yes.
See, God gives the utterance and we do the speaking. Praise God. But listen, there's a distinct difference between the other tongues and the unknown tongue that Paul was talking about in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Amen.
The unknown tongue. You don't know what you're saying. It's unknown. You know, and the devil will try to keep you from, as a born-again believer, praise God, try to keep you from allowing the Holy Spirit give you the unction so you speak in an unknown tongue. Praise God. First Corinthians 14 and verse 18, Apostle Paul says, I'm speaking tongues more than you all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's the relationship that we have.
Yes.
But most of all, Minister Gloria, we must have him.
Yes.
And he must have us.
Yes.
He's the baptizer. He's the one that fills us. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He's the teacher.
He's the teacher.
He's the guide.
Yes.
He's the intercessor. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. When we get on our knees and pray, he intercedes on our behalf, praying the perfect will of God for all the saints. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, that's much, much more than we can talk about the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. We can see his works. I say we can see his works.
Mm-hmm.
Not ours, but his work and what he's doing in all of our lives. My time has slipped away here. My God, there's much more to say here concerning the third person of the Godhead. I want to say, you said you have him. My question is, does he have you?
Praise God.
Praise God. Well, I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would just extend that invitation of salvation here. He's available for everybody.
In Romans 10:9.
You don't have him, you can have him.
It says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God, praise God. We thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning in to the broadcast. I want to say there's much, much more to speak about the third person of the Godhead. He is a person. He's not some when. He's not a dove. He is a person, and we depend on him. In Jesus' name, glory to God. The symbolic language that is used in terms of a dove and so forth, but he is a person. He has a personality. So in the natural, so in the spiritual. Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. I love you, and I thank God for you. And tune again next week for the same broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach. Serving the